Nehemiah chapter number 9, and follow along if you can. We're going to pick it up there in verse number 6 of Nehemiah 9. I've been excited about getting into this part of the chapter here, just because it really lays out a history of the nation of Israel. And you say, well, why do I really care about that? Why is that important to me? But what we can do this morning is we can look at the history of the nation of Israel. And if you're like me, maybe you didn't care a whole lot for history in school, or maybe you did. I don't particularly remember caring a whole lot for any classes, so I'm not sure. I can't remember if I liked history or not, but I do like it now. And you can take a cynical view of history, and people say, well, the one thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. I read a quote from Winston Churchill, and I thought it was kind of fitting this morning. He says that the loss of the past would mean the most thoughtless of ages, everyday headlines and short views. Everyday headlines and short views. That really seems to maybe describe our times, doesn't it? Short views and headlines. What's news today, the news cycle's not very long. I guess because we have so much at our disposal and the news comes and goes so quickly. If it used to be, you had to wait till the next day, the morning paper, to find out what was going on in the news. But if you're waiting till tomorrow, you're already behind, aren't you? So when we think about history, and especially the nation Israel, why would that affect us? Why should we be concerned about that this morning? And why am I excited about getting into it? And it's because of this, because as God dealt with the nation of Israel, we can learn much about who God is. We can learn much about his character. And as our title says this morning, it's God's goodness revealed. That God has revealed his goodness. Look at your neighbor, if you'll help me this morning, and say, we're serving a good God. Stephen, you didn't tell your neighbor. You're going to turn around. We're serving a good God. God is a good God. Amen? God is a good God. What does that mean? It means that everything God does, everything of his nature, everything that all of his actions flows from that goodness. That everything that happens in the life of a believer, everything that God allows to come into our lives, every situation, every loss, every gain, every prosperity, everything that maybe we have to do without when we lack, it comes from the goodness of God. That's hard to grasp, isn't it? Because if you're like me, there's been things that's happened in your life that you could say, well, that just really didn't seem to be that good. But the more we learn of God, the more that we learn of his goodness, and as Peter tells us there in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I mean, the more that we learn of God, the more that we learn of his character and of his nature and of his acts, the outpouring of his goodness, it's in that we find our strength. It's in that we live that full life that God has promised to us. It's in that his promises are fulfilled. And so often, and I've mentioned this before, and I am learning this. Here in my mid to late 40s, I don't like the sound of that. My mid to late 40s, I'm learning that everything that happens in our life, when we sit back and we grumble and complain about it, in reality, we're denying the goodness of God. That's hard, I know. But I'm telling you, I'm trying to get a hold of that in my own self. You know, when things that may seem like disappointments to us, young people, if you can learn this at an early age, when you go through disappointments and your natural response would be to complain about it or even, get bitter about it. In reality, if we trust the hand of God and we believe that God is intimately involved in our life, then that which he has taken away or that which he has given is for our good. Amen. Say, how far to take that? Take it all the way. His provisions out of his goodness. the things that he has taken out of our life out of his goodness. It's not that God, you know, some people get the idea that, yeah, God's good God, but, you know, either he lacks the power to carry out that goodness, or he lacks the goodness to carry out his power. But in reality, everything that God does is good. Why? Because he's good. You're going to hear that over and over again this morning, that God is a good God. And we want to trust that goodness, don't we? We want to put our trust in the hand of the Lord, put our trust in him, realizing that it's out of his goodness that we're even made. Let's get into the scripture this morning. We've got a lot to cover here in Nehemiah chapter 9. Don't let that those verses on the wall scare you. If we don't get to the end of it, we'll just have to carry it over. It's not that big a deal. We've got to preach on something next Sunday, so if we got to continue with this, we'll do it. But God has revealed his goodness within this history lesson that we're looking at this morning in Nehemiah chapter 9. I won't do this, but you can do that on your own. You can see that all the Levites got together, and I'll leave you to figure out those names because I seem to struggle with those. It says, they all got together, and they stood up, and they blessed the Lord your God forever, and blessed by thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Here we go. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of the heaven worshipeth thee. God has revealed his goodness. God has shown us his goodness here. And in this, he has shown it to us in this act of creation, that God created the earth. That the scripture tells us that all things were made by him. I mean, that in the beginning, God spoke the word and the earth was created. That in the beginning, he did this. It was out of his goodness. God is self-sufficient, isn't he? Doesn't need anything. That's basically what that means. I mean, that God has no need of anything. Then why would he make creation? Why would he make man? Why would he make the earth? Why would he do these things? Out of his goodness. Out of his goodness. Why has he made man the way that he has? Why has he done these things for us? Because he's a good God. It ain't like he was lonely, just hanging around and said, well, I'm tired of being by myself. I'm going to make something. No, it's because of his goodness. Because God is a good God. And all things were made by him. Isaiah tells us there in Isaiah 66:2, for all things my hand has made, and all those things exist. Isaiah 37:16 says, you are the God, you are alone of all the kingdom of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Isaiah 45:18 says, for thus says the Lord who created the heavens, he is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but found it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is none else but God. He is the one true living God. And he has made all things. Young people, establish that in your mind. Sign, seal it. Keep it there. Why? Because there's a world that's going around to tell you that we can't know God. There's a philosophy out there saying that there is no God. That we're all just time and space and chance. And, you know, we came from an animal or so on, and you can believe that, but I'll tell you this morning, you will limp through life. Amen. That you will not live a full life unless you realize that we have been created by a loving God, a good God. I don't understand how, I don't know, so to speak, because I've never been here in my own life, but you know, when you look out in creation and you see all the great things that God has done, that creation declares his glory. That when we look at the heavens and we look at all the trees and we look at the flowers and the fall and the seasons and all these things and the changes, you know, to think that just happened by chance. I heard a hymn this week and I printed it out because I really appreciated the words in it. It was called Loved with Everlasting Love. The second verse says this, and it's a little poetic, I guess, but listen to the words. It says, heaven above is softer blue. Earth around is richer green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Songs of birds in sweetness grow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know as now I know, and I am his, and he is mine. Amen. I'm not trying to be corny this morning, but the sky is bluer when you look at it and know that there was a creator behind it. Amen. That the grass is greener and the trees are beautiful in the fall when you look out and you say, that's our God. That God did that. Why did he give us all that? Because he's good. Because he is a good creator. And all these things, creation declares his glory. And here's where I'm going to get into trouble, because I'm going to try to find some other verses in this Bible. In Psalm chapter number 34, listen to the words there of the psalmist. He says this, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Psalm 52, in verse number 1, it says, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty hand? The goodness of God endureth continually." Back in Psalm 33, listen to the words. Psalm 33, verse number 6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them that bear them by the breath of his mouth." It says, "He gathereth the waters of the seas together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Amen. It's God. Amen. God has declared his goodness in his creation. All that he has made. Verse 6 says, "Lord, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." Amen. What a great God that we serve this morning, that he is the one that made all things. And from there he says there, says verse number 7, says, "Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gaveth him the name of Abraham and foundeth his heart faithful before thee and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous." Amen. God has declared his goodness in what? In the fact that he called Abraham out. He called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. He called Abraham out of a quite possibly a pagan worshiping family, and called him, just spoke his name, said Abram, and he called him into a land. Called him into a place. He chose him. Why he chose him, I don't know. I can't tell you. But we do find later on where it says that Abram pleased the Lord in the sense that he was obedient. And when God spoke to him, he went. He did. And God made promises unto Abraham. Abraham said to him, "Lord, what will you do for me, seeing that I go childless?" And of course, you know the story there from there, that God made a promise and said that, "In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." In thy seed. God's goodness is declared in that he keeps his promises. That the promises of God in him, in Christ Jesus, are yea and amen. That they all were pointing to him. All pointing to Jesus. It was the Apostle Paul that spoke there as he was preaching about that one that would not have his soul see corruption. He says, "I will perform the sure mercies of David." The sure mercies of David. What does that mean? It meant this, that the promises that God made through the prophets, through Isaiah, about the mercies of David being fulfilled through his servant David, were all fulfilled in Christ Jesus. You and I, this morning, we can find strength in knowing that the goodness of God is revealed in the fact that God keeps his promises. If he said it 1,000 years, it's like he said it just yesterday. He does not get old. He does not forget. So God called Abraham out and he made promises unto Abraham. He made a covenant with Abraham. He kept his covenant. And then we find there in verse number 9, it says, and did see the afflictions of our fathers in Egypt and heardest their cry by the Red Sea. Said, and showedest signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and on all his servants and on all the people of his land, for thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and their persecutors thou threwest into the depths as a stone into the mighty waters. God has declared his goodness in the fact that he hears the cry of his people. Amen. We're all pretty much aware of the history there of the nation Israel and how that they, the scripture talks about that, you know, they were taken into the land of Egypt as a way of preserving them, really, during a time of famine with Joseph there. Then the scripture talks about there rose a Pharaoh or there rose a king that knew not Joseph. And because God had blessed the nation of Israel there in Egypt and they had multiplied there in Goshen, the Pharaoh that came into power was fearful of them and was afraid that they would possibly turn and fight with another enemy and join themselves too and overthrow their nation, their kingdom there in Egypt. And it was because of that that this Pharaoh chose to multiply their tasks. He made it more difficult. He put taskmasters over them. He brought grief upon them. And the Bible tells us how that the nation of Israel, while in this captivity and in this bondage, cried out to God. And you know what? God heard their cry. This declares the goodness of God in that God not only heard their cry, but he made a way of redemption. Amen. It's there that we find the story of the Passover lamb. It's there that when we hear the story of God when he was sending the signs throughout the land of Egypt, and it come to that last sign when the death of the firstborn would be taken from each household, and how that the Lord spoke to Moses and to the nation of Israel and told him to take a spotless lamb and to bring it into their house and to slaughter that lamb and to take the blood from that lamb and put it over the doorpost. And his response was this. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. In the sense signifying that there would be a day when God would hear the cry of every lost sinner. In a sense that he would make a way. That if we would put our sins under the blood of Jesus Christ, that the destroyer would not come near our house. I mean, that God would keep us and make a way. Aren't you glad this morning that God heard your cry? That was the goodness of God. In the sense that when you were lost and without God, you were aliens, you were not even, you know, nothing in you any good that you could really accomplish anything for God, but you cried out to God in your time of need and he heard you. That was his goodness. Amen. That's the great God we're serving this morning. That is declared in his redemption. He has showed it to us. He saw the nation Israel in their affliction, he says. It says that, and did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heardest their cry by the Red Sea. And the scripture goes on to tell us in other places that he brought them out with a high hand. He brought them out with a strong arm. He brought them out by declaring his strength and showing his glory. He showed them his mighty works. He heard their cry. I know I'm not alone in this morning when I say I'm so thankful that the Lord heard my cry. Amen. He heard my cry. Verse number 13 tells us, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and you spake with them from heaven, and you gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. God's goodness was declared in his provision. He provided for them. He gave to them. Listen how it says. It says he came down upon Mount Sinai and he spake with them from heaven and gave us them right judgments. Right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. Good things. My mind can't help but go back to Romans there in chapter number 7 where Paul, in reference to the law, said, you know, there was nothing wrong with the law. The law was good. Matter of fact, it sounds like he's really quoting from Nehemiah here when he says that they were right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. It was a good thing. And why? Because it came from God. Nehemiah here, as the priest of praise in the Lord, said, you gave us a good thing. I mean, there was nothing wrong with the law. What was wrong was with the heart of the people that were receiving the law. They disobeyed the word. And we'll get into that later on into this chapter. He gave it to them in a marvelous way on Mount Sinai. Matter of fact, he told the people, he told Moses, prepare the people. Tell them to wash themselves because I'm coming to visit. They couldn't come in their unclean state. Couldn't come into the presence of the Lord in their unclean state. He says, prepare yourselves. And they had to set up a boundary around that mountain. And the scripture tells us that if, as God descended upon the mountain, that as so much as a beast would touch the mountain, they would have to be thrust through and killed. Why? Because the presence of the Holy God was coming into their midst. Aren't you thankful for the book of Hebrews that says we have not come into the mountain that might not be touched, but we have come into the city of a living God, an innumerable company of angels. Amen. One that we can come into the very presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That we have been made a new creation that's in Christ Jesus. New creation. What we have. I'll put my spirit in them. I'll give them a new mind, a new heart, even a heart to serve, a heart to obey, a heart of obedience. God had given them commandments. He had provided for them. He made a way for them in the sea. He split through the water, and they walked through on dry land there in that Red Sea. He goes on to tell us from here, it says he gave them bread in the wilderness. It says he gave them water out of a rock. Amen. God provided for them. He made a way for them. He heard their cry. He gave them the commandments. Listen how it's worded over in Deuteronomy. It's over in Deuteronomy chapter number 4. And see, a lot of people get this idea that, you know, we're just serving this, I guess, cosmic killjoy that gives us all these commands and things and do's and don'ts that we can't do, and they can do it and we can't do it, and they're, you know, we got to live unmiserable and we got to be unhappy because we can't. Listen to why God gave commandments. It's over here in Deuteronomy chapter number 4. There's a couple places I want to look there, but just starting here in verse number 39, it says, knowing therefore this day, Deuteronomy 4, if I'm not in 4, tell me, because I don't know where I'm at. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Knowing therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day. Why? That it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. God gave his commandments out of what? Out of his goodness. Why did he give us to him? That it may go well with us. Amen. See, the commandments of God and the commandments that we have in his word is so that you can live an abundant life. Amen. I was listening to a song coming down the road the other day. I can't remember where I was at, but maybe it wasn't a song, But no, it was a song. It was a bluegrass song. Sorry. It was awful. And he was talking about in this bluegrass song, says he'd been in prison and he'd fought the Grim Reaper. And he faced all this stuff, and he finished up with this, and I've lived a life. I thought, that's living? Man, being in bondage? Being behind bars and fighting all kinds of corruption and addictions, and that doesn't sound like living to me. What sounds like living is when we walk according to the precepts and law of God, when we walk according to His Word, that it may be well with us. Amen. God wants you to have an abundant life. Look over in Deuteronomy 12, kind of the same thought here this morning. 12 and 28. It says, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Amen. You want purpose and direction in your life? You want a blessed life? Then do according to His Word, right? Amen. It's not rocket science here. You know, we walk obedient to the Word of God because God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Listen how Isaiah references this. It's over in Isaiah 48. And let's see, verse number 17 there. Listen to the words of the prophet. It says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also as the sand and the offspring of the bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. It's like God is, you know, it's not that He's saying, I've got these laws and I want you to understand, I want you to obey them just because I said so. Not that. Anybody ever said that to the kids? I have. Do this. Why? Because I said so. And I'm dad, and you know, I'm not saying my motivations were always righteous. I said it. Do it. But see, God, he's like this. I said it. Do it so that it might go well with thee. You know, why? So that your, how's he word there? That your peace would be as a river. Peace like a river. You want peace like a river in your life? Obey God. Man, put Him first in your life. He said, you want to have righteousness as the waves of the sea? Yeah. It's God's goodness that He give us His law. It's God's goodness that He gives us His Word. Man, it's God's goodness. Back in Nehemiah, he says, in verse 16, 17, we find that out of all that God did for them, all the provisions, He gave them a word, He gave them manna in the wilderness, He gave them water from a rock, He delivered them, He heard their cry, He heard all these things, He redeemed them out of His goodness, and it says that they continued to rebel. Look at verse number 16, says, but they and our fathers, back in Nehemiah 9, dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments. It says, and they refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return in their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsook them not. God's goodness is revealed in their disobedience. Think about that for a second. God revealed His goodness in the nation of Israel's disobedience. How did that happen? Well, it says, first off, it says that they hardened their hearts. Matter of fact, it says in verse number 17, there's, it says, and they refused to listen. They wouldn't listen to the voice of God. They didn't want to hear what God had to say. God had given them these words that it might be well with them. And later on in this chapter, it says he sent them saviors, or he sent them prophets. He sent judges unto them. And every time and time again, we find that same progression or degression, I say, that took place, is that, you know, God would bring them into captivity. They would repent. They would turn back to God. God would forgive them. And then once again, they'd be back into the same mess. It says they would not remember. It says neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them. God ever done anything in your life? Amen. Anyone in here this morning ever had God do something, do a work in their life? Amen. Anybody make you doubt that? Amen. Let's remember what God is. I can think about many times in my life where God is moved. I think I've shared it with you before, but I can remember there was a time when it was Colby when she was first born, and it seemed like there was just like this slowness of her to get to walking. It just seemed like she just wasn't going fast enough, and I was getting a little concerned, I'll be honest with you. And I remember that I got up for work one morning, and I went into the room there where she was laying in the crib, and I just kind of laid my hands on the crib, and I began to pray. And I said, Lord, touch her legs. I touch her. And I prayed for a healing. And I went on about my business. And later on that day, I got a call from Michelle. And she says, Colby took her first steps today. And I was like, oh, good. And I didn't think anything about it. I didn't think about the prayer. I didn't think of anything. And later on, it was two or three days later, and you think I would have been jumping off the, but it wasn't that way. And a couple of days later, we were sitting in a church service, and the preacher said something, and that come back to my mind. And I thought, God, you are so good. I mean, Lord, you moved, Lord, on our behalf here. And you know, I don't know what was going on. I don't know the situation. But I do know that God answers prayer. Amen. That we can take our needs to the Lord and that he will move on our behalf. I won't forget that. Amen. I won't forget the time that we were standing in the church service there over in Wolftown, Virginia, and Colby again. Boy, she was a mess, wasn't she? She had this eating disorder. She couldn't eat bread and everything about it. You know, you hear about it all the time now. And I remember I was standing up there beside Brother H. Richard Hall from down in Cleveland, Tennessee. And he began to pray, and he said, I just feel like somebody come pray for me. And I'll scare this guy. He's a very intimidating guy. I've seen him kick people in the rear end before in the middle of church service because they weren't moving fast enough. So I was a little bit intimidated by this guy. And so last thing I wanted to do is have him kick me in the butt because, number one, I wasn't sure how I'd respond to it. But anyway, I just said, okay. And I just happened to be I didn't mean to say butt in church, but I said, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to do it. And so he said, somebody pray for me. So I reached out and I laid my hands on him and I said, Lord. And he turned around and looked at me. He said, son, he didn't know me from Adam. He said, son, he said, because you did what God said, your daughter's healed. He turned around and looked at her. He said, that problem she's got in her stomach, he said, she's healed. And you know what? She was healed. And let me tell you this morning, I won't forget that. I won't forget the wonders of God. I won't forget the day that week when I did finally surrender my life to Jesus Christ, when everything wasn't going exactly right and there was no joy, there was no peace, there was no contentment in my life. And then finally one day I said, Lord, I've had enough. And I surrendered my life to him. And from that day on, he's given me an abundant life. He's placed joy and peace and righteousness, amen, in all things pertaining unto life and godliness. He's done that for me. You think I'm going to forget that? Somehow the nation of Israel forgot the fact that God had opened up a Red Sea, they'd walked through, you can kind of just think, they're walking through on dry ground, heaps of water on both sides of them. Oh, God. I'll never doubt you again. oh, this is amazing. Think about that. They begin to walk through. And then they got back, and there comes their pursuers. And then they watched as the water closed in around them, and the armies of Pharaoh were drowned in the sea. But here in Nehemiah, as they said, we didn't remember. Matter of fact, he says it this way. He says, and neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but they hardened their necks, and their rebellion appointed a captain to return in their bondage. But thou art a God. Listen, God's goodness displayed in their disobedience. This is God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook them not. Amen. He forsook them not. To forsake just means to loosen. It means to just permit. Amen. Relinquish. Hands off. Think about people in your life and things and situations that's gone on and people you've reached out to and tried to help, maybe even your own children. And you get to a point where you just think, I've had enough. They've hurt me enough. They've done me wrong too many times. Aren't you glad this morning that God does not forsake? It says he forsook them not. If it had been me with my patience, it would have wore out long before. I'd have left them in the desert. I'd have left. I wouldn't give them another drop of water. They start complaining about the bread. They would just have to eat the bread or do without. But yet, what did he do? They wanted meat. He gave them quail. Matter of fact, he gave it to them until it ran out their ears. Man. They'd have wandered in that desert for more than 40 years, I guarantee you that. But God is gracious. And his goodness was declared in their disobedience and the fact that he was merciful. He was slow to anger. He would not leave them to themselves. Amen. Would not leave them to themselves. I know I'm not the only one this morning that could testify of a time when you thought, I didn't want this. I don't want anything to do with it. God didn't leave me. He didn't forsake me. Amen. He kept me. He kept me. Even when I was being disobedient, he kept me. Amen. I thought I wanted to go my own way as a young man. I remember one night in my dad's 1972 Chevrolet pickup. I took off down the road of me and a couple of friends of mine and hitting 75 mile an hour around a curve. That truck went airborne and all of us went out my driver's side door as I busted it open with my shoulder. And 75 mile an hour, we're going every direction, all places. I end up in a creek bed thinking, I was dead, but he kept me. He didn't forsake me. He didn't leave me. Why? Because he's gracious. Because he pardons, because he's merciful, and because he's slow to anger. That's God. Amen. Aren't you thankful for his provisions? But yet, in all that he did, it says, thou gavest them, look verse 20, thou gavest also that good spirit to instruct them. And withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. They were spirit-led in the wilderness. Think about that. That you gave them your spirit to lead them. We like to talk about being spirit-led, but they were spirit-led. Now, you may be referencing there the fact that God led them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That could be that presence there as he was leading them. And all that he did for them, it says that he He provided, says verse 25, and they took strong cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of all goods, wells, digged vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. But listen, it wasn't enough. They had fallen in love with the provisions, but not with the provider. They had fallen in love with all that he was given. It says that they had all these fruits and vineyards and olive yards and trees, and they got fat and they were filled, and they loved the goodness. Aren't you thankful this morning that we've fallen in love with the provider, not with just the provisions? So he displayed his goodness in how, also in how that he, verse 27, therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, who vexed them in the time of their trouble. When they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. Lord, your goodness is declared in your discipline. And whom the Lord loves, he chastens. God's goodness is declared when sometimes he has to take us to the woodshed, right? I know this goes against the grain of the philosophy you're hearing today. You know, as far as correction in our children, when we think of correction, we don't think of goodness, or we don't think of love, or many don't. We do. Because we know that we correct our children because we love them. I love him too much to smack his legs. No, you don't. You love yourself too much. But here we find that God is willing to discipline his children. And it's that he declares his goodness, his great mercy. Lamentation 3:22 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. Amen. His compassion fails not. The goodness of God declared throughout this history lesson that we're looking at here. Let's look at the last few verses there. Verse 36, and it says this, behold, we are his servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. And it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. Also they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. Because of this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal it. Amen. Here in this history lesson, we find that the judgments of God were just. They were right. Amen. When God chastened his people, when God chastened the nation of Israel, when God brought them into captivity, the priest here, Nehemiah, in the writings here declare, God, you were just in what you did. Why? Because we forsook your word. We forsook your ways. We fell in love with the provisions, but not the providers. Lord, we did all these things. So what you did was right. And now we find this profession. It says here that they made a covenant with God. Amen. They made a covenant with God. They made vows. They made promises. God had moved in our life in such a way that they declared, God, we want to serve you. Aren't you glad for that day in your life when you decided, when you made a decision that God in his goodness gave you a will? We were singing the song earlier. It says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I don't know how long it took. I thought, you know, we're talking about a sovereign God. God in his goodness has declared men and gave us a will. And he has shown his goodness toward us. He has corrected us. He has His mercies in our own life, His pardon. And that's how we say this morning that, God, You are a good God. You are a good God. The songwriter said it this way, "Come, Thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love." We're serving a good God this morning, aren't we? Amen. Can we declare His goodness? Can we declare that God is a good God? Can we declare it to the world and be prepared for the attacks that may come? Well, if God was good, He wouldn't do this. If God was good, He wouldn't do that. God is a good God. God is a merciful God. It is of His mercies that we are not consumed. It's of His mercy that any of us here this morning are saved. It's of His mercy. Why? Because I know we like to think He needs us, but He's God. Well, if I wasn't here, no, we need Him. Amen. We need Him. As Bill was saying earlier, God's already done it all. I mean, He's already made the way. He's already made the crooked path straight. He's already made a highway unto our God. Praise the Lord. Through Jesus Christ, we have access unto God. We have access unto the Father. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that this morning. Let's pray together. God, we thank You for Your word. God, we thank You, Lord, of Your goodness that's demonstrated here in this book of Nehemiah. Lord, it's been preserved for us. And God, as we learn of You, Lord, we learn of Your ways. God, and Lord, as Your word declares who You are, and God, we want to know of You, but not just know of You, Lord, but to know You in a personal way. God, that our faith would be made strong. God, that we would be prepared, Lord, through Your word to give an answer when asked of the hope, Lord, that's within us. Lord, that we can stand with boldness and confidence in knowing that You are a good God. Lord, and if there's something You've brought into our life, it's out of Your goodness. Or if there's something you've taken out, Lord, it's because of Your goodness. That's hard for us to say, God, but we believe it to be true. I mean, because Your word declares it. And Lord, You have done so many wonderful things for us. God, You've given us life. Lord, You've given us eternal life. God, we're just so thankful for that this morning. And God, if You had never done anything else, Lord, that would be enough to know, God, that we will spend eternity in Your presence. Lord, what a wonderful privilege that is today. Thank You, God, for knowing that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Lord, You are our Creator, God, and You have made all things. And You've done all things good. You've done all things well. Father, we thank You for it. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Thank God for His wonderful word today. And if you need prayer, please come pray. We'll pray with you. If you have a need you want the church to pray about, amen. Now's a good time to do it.